This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we hear from two candidates running for State House in Southwest Michigan. Coming up, Dave Morgan is seeking the Democratic nomination in the district that includes the city of Battle Creek. But first, Kalamazoo County Commissioner Brant Iden hopes to represent the city of Portage and the surrounding area in the State House next year. Iden is running for the Republican nomination in the 61st District. The current representative, Republican Margaret O'Brien, is running for State Senate. Brant Iden, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we're also joined by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Brant Iden, begin by telling a little bit more about yourself and what you would like to do with at least 2 years in the State House if you get them.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my background. So, grew up in Battle Creek, Southwest Michigan guy. Attended school at Kalamazoo College and stayed in the community ever since. I love Kalamazoo, and it's great to be here. And we have so many great things going for this community that I got involved in the community and after I graduated and just ended up sticking around and staying, which is fantastic. I own a small business here in Kalamazoo called Identity Management and Consulting, and we're a real estate management firm and turnaround consultant. And kind of there's some intricacies in that, but we do a lot of turnaround work. So we take companies that are struggling financially, and whether they've had some run-ins with perhaps their lender and they can't seem to figure a way out, the lender has an option of appointing a financial manager through the state circuit court to come in and kind of try to right the ship a little bit. And so that's what our company does. So my background is heavy in finance, and I spend a lot of time working with small businesses throughout the state. Actually, I shouldn't just say small, all sorts of companies from manufacturing facilities on the east side of the state all the way to gas stations and laundromats. We've done all sorts of different types of assets. So obviously a small business background, and that's one of the things I'm going to segue a little bit into your question. That's one of the main reasons that I'm running. Job growth in the economy is something that's near and dear to my heart. I know Alex knows this, but I, of course, serve on the board at Junior Achievement, and, financial literacy has always been important to me, and cultivating our young people to teach them to be entrepreneurs and grow our economy and stay here and grow Kalamazoo's economy is something that I'm interested in. So looking forward to my House run, and one of the things that I'm certainly running on is job growth, and that's going to be my primary focus, hopefully my 2 years in office.
Alex Mitchell, first question for Brant Iden.
Brant, I think the issue on everyone's mind this time of year is road funding and finding additional funding for our crumbling roads. What means would you support for fixing the roads?
That's a great question, and one that I'm excited actually to explore. The legislature wasn't able to get anything accomplished just because of all the different competing ideas that have been brought into play on this, and so I'm excited about being able to tackle that this time around, or hopefully this next legislative cycle around. I believe it's a multifaceted approach. It's not a silver bullet or one-size-fits-all theory. I know that some candidates have articulated this theory or that theory, or I'd pull the money from here or I'd pull the money from there. I don't believe that that's going to be an effective way of solving the problem. We have to look at this from a number of different angles. For example, we have to look first and foremost from within the budget. Where can we find money from within the current existing budget to be able to make up for roughly what I'm looking at is going to be a $1.2 billion figure that the governor and the legislature have thrown out. And I think we can do that. There are, in my opinion, a lot of cost savings to be had from prevailing wage. I'm thinking that based on Anderson Economic Group and the 2013 Republican Action Plan states that $250 million a year could potentially come back to the state if we repeal prevailing wage.
Can you explain what prevailing wage is for people who don't follow this closely?
Yeah, absolutely. Prevailing wage is basically the state mandates that a certain wage be paid for work that is contracted by the state. And so I've looked at a number of different figures, and those rates and ranges vary from, and you can get on the state's website, their LARA website, and you can look at the numbers that we pay for prevailing wage. And they range in Kalamazoo County for an iron worker, for example, of somewhere between $30.16 to Oakland County, which is $60.41 per hour, prevailing wage, for example, an iron worker, is just a random example that I pulled. So when the state contracts for work like road construction, schools, etc., they have to pay a prevailing wage. If we repeal that, again, these numbers that I looked at came from last year, but $250 million a year potentially could be saved by the repeal of prevailing wage. Is that a step in the right direction for the $1.2 billion that we need? I absolutely think so. Now, that's not the only thing that's going to be able to get it done. We have to look at some other avenues as well. And so we probably have to look at where can there be some cost savings with some of our other expenses as well. And then, you know, we probably have to bring in some of our business groups and say, okay, you know, what other avenues can we look at? Right now, the Republicans are looking at a wholesale tax. I think that that's part of it. So it's not going to be one particular item, you know, one particular space in the budget where somebody says, oh, I can go find $1.2 billion there, or I can go raise a tax here and get $1.2 billion. It's not going to happen. We need to look at this from a multifaceted level, take a look at five or six different things and say, okay, this adds up, 20 bucks here, 20 bucks there. It's just like a home budget. When you're looking at it, say, how do I save the money for that car, for example? Well, I'm going to pull from this, I'm going to pull from that, and five or six different ways are going to get us to what we need to do to fully fund roads. And we know that this is a priority. And because everybody I talk to when I'm out there knocking on doors, they say, hey, we need better roads. We understand the importance of Michigan's infrastructure, but I don't want to pay anything more for it. Okay. And I've gotten the message loud and clear. So that means that I've got to go and take a hard look at some of the other areas where we can find these dollars.
So does that mean that you are not willing to consider something like an increase in vehicle registration fees? Because you say people don't want to pay more.
People don't want to pay more. And I think that it's going to take a number of different approaches to solving the problem. Do we have to potentially look at the wholesale tax, or do we have to potentially look at registration fees? I think that is going to be potentially part of the solution to the problem, but it's not going to be a one issue. Would I be willing to take a look at it and consider it? Yes, but only if it involves additional reforms first and finding savings within the budget first.
Would you favor any decriminalization of marijuana or full-blown legalization in Michigan?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, and I think one that we've seen kind of play out in Colorado, certainly,
and Washington,
Washington. Thank you. Well, first and foremost, let me say, as a local government guy in Kalamazoo County, I need to put a plug in for Kalamazoo County. Our drug courts are by far the in my opinion, the best drug court in the state. Now, Oakland County might disagree with me a little bit because they also have a great drug court. But, you know, our drug court is mainly privately funded, and they do a great job of taking these low-level users and keeping them out of jail. And we all know, and statistics have shown time and time again, that not only does this save the county money and does it save local government's money, but it also helps to, you know, we can't save all of them, but repeat offenders, we're seeing that on the decrease as well with some of these sorts of things. So it does help. It keeps them out of the system, and it helps people hopefully get their lives back on track a little bit. So I would support, first and foremost, more drug courts, the drug court system and the system we have in Kalamazoo being expanded throughout the state. And I would, and I look forward to, when I serve in the legislature, to making sure that that happens, and so that all these other counties can take advantage of such a great system and hopefully a cost-saving mechanism. Now, to answer your question more specifically, though, what I think, Gordon, is that I'm very concerned about what I've seen in Colorado right now, which is there's a case playing out right now in Colorado where an employee was fired for failing a random drug test screening and then sued his employer because his marijuana was legal under the state law, claimed he was not under the influence while at work, and of course the employer claimed that it's still illegal under the federal law. And so as we watch those issues play out, not only in Colorado, but I use that as a specific example, but I believe that this is going to happen more and more in Colorado and in Washington. And so I think the problem here is that if it hinders employers and their ability to hire good employees, and they're always going to be in protracted legal battles, and they're always going to be in lawsuits and involved in all sorts of other things, I think at the end of the day, I can't support decriminalizing it because I think it's bad for business.
Let me just stop you there for a moment, because some people would say there is quite a difference between legalizing and decriminalizing. And State House Speaker Bolger has spoken in favor of perhaps decriminalizing marijuana, where we say, you know, it's going to be punishable by a ticket and a fine as opposed to spending some time in jail. But it would still be illegal.
Yeah. And I still think that that doesn't solve the problem that the employer's faced with at any point in time. They're still going to get into situations where the employee is going to show up at work, whether it's decriminalized or whether it's legalized, and potentially, even if they're not high on the job, start to fail random drug screenings. We're going to fire more employees. They're going to come back and they're going to say the same thing that's happening in Colorado, which is, hey, you can't fire me. And then what's going to happen? If it's bad for our businesses and it's bad for employers, I can't see myself supporting it.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Republican State House candidate Brant Eyden. He's running in the 61st District, which includes the city of Portage. He's a current member of the Kalamazoo County Board of Commissioners. Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell is here as well. Alex.
Brant, would you have supported the recent minimum wage hike?
The legislature was caught in a very difficult spot with a ballot proposal looming and a decision to move forward the way they did. I think I understand why the legislature did it, and it's always easy to Monday morning quarterback these things, but I will tell you that I wouldn't have supported it. I've talked to our small restaurateurs in particular about this issue, and they all know what's coming. Even though they can see down the road and they say, okay, I see where we're going with the increase. I know what's going to happen. I can budget for it. At the end of the day, it's still going to detrimentally impact our businesses. Because of where the business community is on this issue, I wouldn't have supported it. But I understand why the legislature did what they did. And so it was a tough vote for them to make. It was a tough vote. But did they make the right decision? Well, given the information that they had, which is probably different than the information that I had, well, I can understand why they made that decision. The example I always love to give is Zingerman's. I don't know if you've ever been to Zingerman's, but Zingerman's, of course, they pay their employees all a large, and I say large, $2 or $3 above the minimum wage. Subway pays their employees minimum wage. I can go to Subway and get a $5 footlong. I cannot go to Zingerman's and get a $5 sandwich. Now, of course, we can argue, you know, why that is in farm fresh, you know, in natural products and all that. But at the end of the day, when this happens and when minimum wage starts to increase, prices will increase for the consumer at every single level.
Do you think the state should have any minimum wage at all?
I think minimum wage is important. I respect some of my colleagues that have come before me and have made certain comments about how the government should stay out of the minimum wage business, but I do believe, and I can respect that as well. But I understand the importance of having a minimum wage in place, and I respect that. But we also need to be very cognizant of how any increases in that can impact our business community.
As someone who wants to go from local government to state government, what are your thoughts on some of the various consolidation efforts which have gone on in the state, including east of here, Albion and Marshall merging a high school, west of here, Saugatuck and Douglas turned down the opportunity to merge their two cities, the voters there. Do you think the state should be looking for ways to offer carrots perhaps to consolidate, or should they just stand back and let local governments figure this out for themselves?
No, I think that the state has done, they've been working hard, both the legislature and the governor, to try to get more communities and other areas of government to consolidate. And I think that that's very important. There are a lot of cost-saving measures that can come from consolidation. You have to make sure that it works for the local community and that everybody's on board with it. The state can't just take this top-down approach and say, okay, you know, snap their fingers and say consolidate. It doesn't work that easy. Trust me. You have to put some thought and process into it, and the communities have to be willing, and their boards and their local leaders have to be able to willingly engage in those conversations. And as long as that can happen, I continue to support that, and I think that consolidation is needed in various levels of government.
Brant Eyden, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Brant Eyden is running for the Republican nomination in the 61st State House District, which includes the city of Portage. He's currently a Kalamazoo County Commissioner. And thanks again to Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. There will be a new representative in Michigan's 62nd State House District, which includes the city of Battle Creek, next year. The current representative, Democrat Kate Siegel, cannot run again because of term limits. Three Democrats are running for the seat, including former Calhoun County Democratic Party Chairman Dave Morgan. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Gordon. Appreciate being here.
And we're joined by Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thanks for having me.
Dave Morgan, begin by telling the audience a little bit more about yourself and why you're running for State House.
Well, I'm 50 years old, father of one. I have my little 7-year-old daughter here with me today, Jaden. I'm a United States veteran. I served 11 years in the Air Force Reserves and also with the Michigan Air National Guard in Battle Creek. 11 years there, served in Desert Storm, served on President Bush's security force during Desert Storm, which was quite an honor. I was in Madrid. I've traveled all over the world with the military. I'm also a veteran of Amtrak. I'm currently working there. Been there 21 years. I was a manager for 13 years, locomotive engineer. I've worked in Los Angeles, El Paso, and Battle Creek. And as a manager, I was in charge of operations between Los Angeles and El Paso, Texas. Up here, I was manager between Battle Creek and Chicago. Our family's been from Battle Creek since the 1800s. Morgan Road, many people know Morgan Road. That's named after my great-grandpa, William. That was the center of his farm. One side was a horse farm. One side was the dairy farm. So we've been there quite a while. And anybody that knows Campbell School, that was his home. I was a college baseball coach at Kalamazoo Valley for quite a while, 4 years. Host of A Little Bit Left, A Little Bit Right with Tim Hill on Access Vision in Battle Creek, and former chairman of the Calhoun County Democratic Party.
Jennifer Bowman, first question for Dave Morgan.
Let's start with roads. Everyone knows that's the most talked about topic of the day. If we need to get that funding, would you support an increase in gas tax, increase in fees? What would your suggestions be?
Well, the roads is definitely one of the most important issues we're going to be facing in this campaign. Michigan's facing it statewide. Funding's an absolute necessity. Now, how we're going to get there, that's where, you know, we've got to work together between the Democrats and the Republicans. Roads were a nuisance a ways back. Now it's we're almost in an emergency situation. They're dangerous. In the summertime, now we have motorcyclists out there where we didn't before. It's a dangerous situation. So it's one that needs to be addressed immediately by our elected officials. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of failure there in the past. As far as funding goes, I think we need to look at all areas. The funding's there. We have the fuel tax, for instance, but really not much of it goes into roads. A lot of it gets transferred back into the general funds. So instead of raising a gas tax, imposing more tax on the citizens, I would be more apt to increase the amount of money that we're already receiving and putting that back into our roads.
The township roads in Calhoun County, some of which includes the 62nd District, you're well aware,
absolutely,
living in Penfield, that's a $284 million figure. Officials are saying, we're never going to get there. Townships are considering road millages. I'm hearing you're saying the funding's there, but we've got this large amount.
Well, I did see in the paper, one of the headlines on one of my opponents said that the taxpayer, I forget how he actually said it, but the taxpayers are basically going to have to suck it up and pay more money. I don't think that's right. I think the taxpayers are paying enough, and we definitely need to, you know, transfer more of the money back into our roads that we already have. The roads in Penfield are absolutely horrible. All of our county roads are bad. The same elected officials that have got us in this mess are now asking for more money, and I don't think that's the answer. I think the best answer our voters can have is unelect the people that have got here in the first place, not give them more money. So as far as the community roads go, townships need to have more input. Right now they don't have. You've got Tim Hill out in Emmett Township, who does an excellent job out there. Very little say in how the money's sent to his township to use on his roads. I think our township supervisors, they're there every day. They're the ones that should have more input on what happens with our roads. They've really been shut out.
Are you saying you don't favor any increase in revenue, no increase in the gas tax, vehicle registration fees, or anything else?
No, I wouldn't. I think the funding's there. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't change, but I'm saying as far as I look at everything, you look at the small percentage of the money that actually goes back into the roads. I mean, if we raise one thing, gas tax is very, you never know what you're going to have. You know, it's not a sustainable, accountable revenue that you know what you're going to have coming in every year.
Because people may drive less. There may be cars that come along that use less gas or no gas at all. Is that what you're getting at?
Absolutely. Okay. So with that being the case, we need a sustainable amount of money coming back in, but we need a higher percentage to go back into the roads.
But a lot of that money now that comes from gas tax will go into the general fund.
Right.
That ends up going, okay, well, what do you do about that money that's in the general fund? Are there things you're going to spend less on then? Because, well, what would they be? What are you going to spend less on to spend it on roads?
Well, you have to take, there's a big pie. I mean, we can't sit here today and solve every problem we have. But one of the biggest issues we have are the roads. And I think that's the case in our townships in Michigan, everywhere throughout the state. So with that being one of the biggest issues we're facing, we definitely need to take as much funding as we possibly can, transfer it into the roads. Most people think their fuel tax does go to the roads. I mean, that's what we're being told by a lot of our elected officials. That's simply not the case. It's a percentage of that.
Would you have supported an increase in the minimum wage, which was approved by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Snyder?
I think it's a good start. It's absolutely a good start. So I would say yes. I would go there. I think we should do more.
Do you think the ballot proposal would have been better? That would have taken it to 10-10 instead of 9-25?
I think it would have been better, but they came to an agreement beforehand, and that was probably a political move by Governor Snyder, but that's fine. It's a first step and a step of many.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Dave Morgan. He's a candidate for the Democratic nomination for State House in Michigan's 62nd District. That includes the city of Battle Creek. Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman is here as well. Jennifer.
Staying on minimum wage, some say there shouldn't be a minimum wage. It should be dictated by the marketplace. Your opponent yesterday, Arkell, said, I used to run a manufacturing plant. We paid our entry-level positions close to minimum wage, found we couldn't hire anyone, and raised it. And he pointed that as an example of how the marketplace should dictate it.
Now, I think there absolutely should be a minimum wage. I don't think that's a question. We need livable wages. People in our community spend their money in the community. So with that being the case, minimum wage, absolutely. We, the minimum wage, the what we just did was great. I mean, it's good for Michigan. We can't penalize small businesses, so we need to try to help them out as much as possible, too. It's kind of two dynamics. So you have small businesses that are really struggling to survive. You have families struggling to survive, and you've got corporations that seem to get all the big breaks, and that's because they have the most money to buy off the most politicians and to hire the most lobbyists. Small businesses aren't really represented in either party. Republicans have left them out. Democrats have left them out, and that's really a shame. Every family's a small business in their own way and struggling to survive, and this time in our lives, it's the worst time I've ever seen for families trying to get by. Everything's going up. Gas, I remember when it was 89 cents a gallon, and I'm not that old. Now it's over $4. It's a tough time for everybody. But as far as the minimum wage, I don't see how you can fight against a minimum standard of living for people.
So how do we get to help those small businesses?
Oh, the small businesses? Well, your tax incentives, we've done that. I think spending local money, local preference, for instance, police cars, fire trucks, anything we buy locally. We help our local businesses buy within our community.
Some small business owners will say, however, they're the ones that usually end up paying minimum wage. So when that goes up, it does squeeze small businesses a little bit harder. If you're going to raise the minimum wage, do you have to accept that small businesses are going to be hurt by it? Or is there a way to also help them in addition to raising the minimum wage?
And that's exactly what I'm getting at. We need to supplement, hopefully supplement, with money saved in other areas by the minimum wage increasing, say at Walmart, where a lot of their employees receive federal assistance while they're still working for Walmart or other companies. So if we could help and supplement some of the cost to raise minimum wage. I think it's a win-win situation. It wouldn't penalize small businesses, and it would help the families get by.
Do you supplement it by the state directly paying small businesses?
I would. I would think that's an option. I mean, we'd have to look at it, but if we're going to spend money one way or the other, whether it's on assistance to families or supplementing small businesses to hire people to work at a higher wage, a livable wage, I think that's the way to go.
Do you think the state should be doing any more to encourage consolidation or mergers of local government units, either, you know, sharing services or full-blown mergers? It was proposed earlier, was proposed last year in Saugatuck and Douglas. Should the state be doing anything to encourage that or facilitate it?
I think all options are open. We need to look at every possibility. School districts, for one, we have superintendents at every school. You know, I lived out in Arizona for a while where you have one superintendent for multiple schools. That's an area. There's a lot of areas that we could cut back on. Busing of students, food services. We provide government food services in our jails, in our schools, and all areas, maybe a commissary, something to that sort that would, you know, supplement every area.
Jennifer?
I want to ask you about some social issues. Where do you stand on medical marijuana?
To me, it's a non-issue. I was a former police officer. It's pretty much a victimless crime. Worldwide, it's pretty much accepted. Here it's become a political battle because what one party's for, the other party's automatically against. I really think it's a non-issue. I think it's wonderful if it's able to be used for medical purposes. It's victimless. I mean, so I think it's a waste of a lot of revenue to go, you know, to spend on that issue.
How about recreational use?
I have never smoked in my life. I've never had a puff of a cigarette or anything, but I don't have a problem with it.
Do you think it should be legalized?
Absolutely. I think it's a waste of government resources to do anything other than that.
Do you support amending the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to include protections for sexual orientation and gender identity?
Yes, I would.
Explain why, please.
I just think everybody has the right, you know. I'm a landlord in Battle Creek. I invest in properties throughout. Everybody has the right to live in one of my houses or apartments. I think that's a non-issue, too. We worry so much about what other people are doing instead of just respecting, you know, maybe people have different beliefs. I mean, I have different beliefs. None of us, us three don't agree on every issue. But if there's a respect, we can all get along. I think we worry too much about what other people are doing. I think they definitely should be protected. Everybody should be protected. It's a basic right.
Do you support legalizing same-sex marriage?
That's a tough one. You have traditional values that people say, you know, talk about. Then you have, and you see in Kalamazoo, you've got a great race here going on. But I would have to look at more, but I would say probably yes, I would support it.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of talk about, you know, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and how there's, you know, that constant fighting and what becomes a political battle. It's easier said than done to fix that. How do you plan on doing that?
Well, I think, you know, you see Tim and I on the our TV show. You can work together. I think we need more people in politics. I think more veterans. More people that actually want to be there to serve the people instead of serve their party. And, I mean, for me to talk about the party system now, I should be using the former chairman as an advantage. But to be honest, I'm not running to represent the Democratic Party. I'm running because I think I can do a good job for the people. And when I'm elected, I'll serve the Republican, somebody that calls themselves a Republican, just as much as I'll serve person that calls themselves a Democrat. We need to get the D's and R's out of here and start working for the community.
Dave Morgan, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Dave Morgan is running for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 62nd State House District. That includes the city of Battle Creek. He is the former chairman of Calhoun County's Democratic Party. And we want to thank Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thank you.
Longer versions of the interviews heard on West Southwest can be found at wmuk.org. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.